Hey everybody, welcome to episode 17 of the Rocket Punch Show. I'm one of your hosts, Cameron, here, and that's it. Unfortunately, fortunately, I don't know this week. Long story, I'll try and keep it as brief as possible here, guys, but currently right now, I am your only host and only person on the podcast this week. Kind of a complication here, but what it boiled down to was that I actually had a last-minute trip to go out of town to help some family members come up literally at the last minute this past Sunday when we normally stream and record the podcast. Because of that, I had just told Seth not to even come. Like, he was like, what's going on? I'm like, don't worry about it. I'll end up having to cancel it. But then, initially, I thought we had time to actually come in. I'm like, ooh, I might have time to actually still do the episode. And so we hurried back once we got out of town. But then what ended up happening was that there was a semi that flipped over on the road. It held up traffic for about an hour or two, which more or less just slowed me down. I couldn't make it in time to actually stream the episode proper. So it didn't happen Sunday. So we weren't able to stream it, but I think for a lot of different reasons that there was a fair amount of news this past week in the gaming community that I wanted to talk about, as well as really my own edification to see if how running the show solo would work, if and whenever I have to do that way. Because long story short, if the big one, you know, Seth and I record the podcast, Seth helps me out here, but if Seth for some reason has to be gone and I can't get anyone else, any friends in the community or anyone else to jump on, usually I've just had to cancel the show. That's just been like, you know, wash my hands of it. It's done. But this time, this week, I wanted to actually try, you know what, let's run the show solo. Let's see how it goes. Let's see how you guys like it. You basically, this is like a big Rocket Punch Opinions for more or less. Just a very long episode of all the stuff we're going to go through here. But let's go through the housekeeping here, then I'll give you guys a quick breakdown of the episode. So, of course, guys, if you don't know, this is the Rocket Punch Show, your Southern source for all things gaming, geek, and more. You can listen to us every Tuesday on your podcast service of choice. You can also listen to us live as we record the show when we're here and actually coordinated to do it, each and every Sunday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time at twitch.tv/rocketpunchlive. There, and just be sure to follow there when you get over there. Guys, of course, if you want to find out all of our content and see where the content is that we're making for you guys, make sure you head over to rocketpunchgo.com. That is going to be your one-stop shop for all the videos, podcasts, streams, and more that you're definitely going to have at your fingertips. And also, guys, if you want to be a part of the Rocket Punch family, make sure you join our Discord server, where we're slowly growing our community, and we're doing a lot of cool events and watch parties and contests and stuff that I've got planned. So definitely join our Discord here. For people, everybody listening via podcast services, the Discord link is in the show notes for you. Of course, guys, there are a lot of different ways to support us. The easiest way, of course, is to review us on your podcast service of choice. Let us know how we're doing. You can also follow and share our content on your social media platform of choice. We are, of course, on Twitter and Instagram at Rocket Punch Go. You can also find us at Facebook at Rocket Punch Network. We're on there pretty actively, so definitely swing by, check us out, have fun with us as we share all the goody gaming things that happen throughout the week. And of course, guys, if you want to go even one step beyond, you can subscribe to us on Twitch, or you can become a patron over at patreon.com/rocketpunch. Either one of those routes you go, definitely get you exclusive bonuses you're going to find on that platform. Just stuff like access to our post show, access to, if you're on Twitch, you get emotes. If you're on Patreon, you get early access to other episodes and a whole lot of other cool goodies there you don't want to miss out. Speaking of both of those platforms there, normally this is where I introduce our Patreon producers, but in an effort to not only add more value to Twitch, since the Patreon and Twitch, the highest tiers are at the same price at $4.99 either way, I decided, you know what, we're going to make our Twitch subscribers producers as well. So supporting us on Twitch via a sub, or supporting us on Patreon at our highest tier, gets you access to be one of our Rocket Punch producers, where I read your name out here on the list. So let me go through it here. Give a special shout out to our Rocket Punch producers, Jossie M, Sam S, Jeremy M, Steven S, Adam C, T, Taichi 1138, Darth Turner, Salty Seamstress, Retro Lore 256, Failing Faster, Anvil FPS, and Stigander. Thank you guys so much for your continued support on those platforms there. We cannot do this show without your guys' support, so we thank you very much. Other than that, I ain't got no events, announcements. Haven't really done much of that lately here, so giving you guys a quick breakdown here, kind of what I'm going to do here in this episode for this week is really, I'm just going to go through the news. We had a fair chunk of news. Normally, I pick the top five news stories from the past week. But in this particular instance, I'm going to go ahead and read through just a lot of news stories. There's no need for a topic of the show this week since it is just me. So we're just going to go through and do this entire news segment here. Right after this break, I'm going to get some water and then we'll be right back. And we're back here from that quick break, guys. Thank you so much. I appreciate everybody bearing with me here. It's, again, a little unusual that I'm actually doing the show solo, but, you know, hey, you got to do what you got to do, right? So, let's go through the news, guys. We've got 8 news items I want to discuss here with you guys here. Number one, we got a lot of details about xCloud this week here. Reading a little bit here, I've got 2 different links. The first one is from Tom Warren over at TheVerge.com. Microsoft opens xCloud game streaming beta. Oh, actually, no. They're both the same. Microsoft opens xCloud game streaming beta early tomorrow. Reading a little bit here from the article. Microsoft is allowing XPass Game Pass. I cannot talk. See, this is the fun part about me doing it solo. This is raw. This is as raw as it's going to get. Microsoft is allowing Xbox Game Pass Ultimate subscribers to try its new game streaming feature, xCloud, early tomorrow, August 11th. The software giant will launch a new version of the Xbox Game Pass beta app for Android, which includes game streaming. While the streaming feature, known previously as xCloud, will be officially available on September 15th, anyone can grab the beta app from the Google Play Store and try it early from tomorrow onward. Quote, as we approach the launch of cloud gaming with Xbox Game Pass Ultimate on September 15th, we're entering a limited beta period to ensure a smooth transition of the cloud gaming experience to the Xbox Game Pass app on Android, explains a Microsoft spokesperson in a statement to The Verge. Quote, existing Xbox Game Pass beta app users will get the opportunity to test a subset of the available titles as we ready the experience for broader availability next month. This limited beta is critical to providing the best possible experience for members at launch and should not be considered indicative of final experience or library. Some cool news. I think there's a little bit more to the article, but it more or less boils down to they're going to have, 30 of the games available at launch that you can check out. The other news is that it's coming out on September 15th, and it'll have an official launch date of September 15th there. Awesome to see. Definitely going to get into the next news item here, but I will definitely say as an iOS user, it kind of sucks that I won't be able to utilize or test out xCloud beta. Don't worry, we'll get to that in number 2. But it is great to see that xCloud is starting to roll out. I know that Phil Spencer was over at the latest Samsung event for the Galaxy S20, I think. And really, that's their strategy, like pushing xCloud or pushing Game Pass. And now with that xCloud component, they can definitely push it over to mobile users, and Android users are definitely their big push right now. There are a lot of benefits if you get the Samsung S20 when it comes out, I think, in a couple of weeks. I'm not an Android guy, so I did not get the date. I don't know when that is. It was actually my phone. It's in my pocket. It was really cool to see that. It is really good news to see that they've, you know, if you have an Android device now, they're slowly letting, you know, slowly opening the floodgates here, is that if you're an existing Xbox Game Pass subscriber, you've got an Android device that hopefully supports it. You can download the app, the Xbox Game Pass app, starting August 11th, so tomorrow as of this recording here, and then play to your heart's content if you're an Ultimate subscriber. So that's pretty awesome. Definitely going to ease the transition to make moving slowly from a couple of people to a larger group of people to everyone once xCloud is kind of rolled out on the 15th of September a lot easier. So I'm really happy to see that. Glad that that is popping up here. Now, let's move on to story number two, which I kind of hinted at earlier. Apparently, iOS and xCloud have beef, and it may not get sorted out anytime soon here. This from, again, The Verge by one Nick Stratt here. Apple confirms cloud gaming services like xCloud and Stadia violate App Store guidelines. Reading a little bit here, cloud gaming is shaping up to have a big moment on mobile starting next month with the launch of Microsoft's xCloud service. But iOS users are getting left out, and now we know exactly why. Apple won't allow those products because of strict App Store guidelines that make cloud services like xCloud and its competitor, Google Stadia, effectively impossible to operate on the phone. We already knew that there was some issue, likely App Store related, as to why Stadia wasn't available for Apple devices and why Microsoft's service would likely face a similar fate. It seemed even more likely that xCloud's fate on iOS was sealed yesterday when Microsoft cut off iOS testing for its xCloud app well ahead of its September 15th launch date on Android. NVIDIA's GeForce Now service also similarly Android-only when it comes to phones, even though that platform technically lets you access titles you already own. But Apple has finally come out and said in a statement to Business Insider that these kinds of cloud services are in violation of App Store guidelines and cannot, in their current forms, ever exist on iOS. The primary reason they offer access to apps Apple can't individually review. I'm going to read the official Apple statement, and then we'll get into this here, guys. Quote, the App Store was created to be a safe and trusted place for customers to discover and download apps, and a great business opportunity for all developers. Before they go on our store, all apps are reviewed against the same set of guidelines that are intended to protect customers and provide a fair and level playing field to developers. Our customers enjoy great apps and great games from millions of developers, and gaming services can absolutely launch on the App Store as long as they follow the same set of guidelines applicable to all developers, including submitting games individually for review and appearing in charts and search. In addition to the App Store, developers can choose to reach all iPhone and iOS users, all iPhone and iPad users over the web using through Safari and other browsers on the App Store. There's a lot more. There's a couple of statements. They go very in deep. There's actually a pretty deep article here. So I definitely encourage you guys to give this a read. But the long and short of it is, there is this big ordeal kind of once they announced and revealed that xCloud was coming to, going to be available on September 15th. It was going to be available for Android. If you actually read their press release, it kept pushing like Android. And we're like, where's iOS? What's going on with that? And then kind of this story kind of broke out where they ended their test flight early and then more or less confirmed. Microsoft said it, then Apple confirmed it, that it's really because the pure fact that the Xbox Game Pass app will have other applications within it, since Apple can't verify each of those games, it won't allow it on the platform. And this, as you're going to see or hear in this episode this week, I'm pretty conflicted on it because I understand both sides. You know, regardless of how you feel about Apple's walled garden, I think that that has done a great job of protecting consumers, especially when you think of consumers in the large pool, not like people like us or possibly people listening to this show that know how to work their phones and their computers and are pretty tech savvy and know that stuff, but kind of the general populace. I understand that Apple kind of has that walled garden and has these policies in place to protect users, to give a nice, uniform, a streamlined experience. It honestly, it is one of the big things that I like about Apple. You know, Android's cool. It looks awesome. I definitely would love to get a chance to play with one of those devices, but I've been with iOS for a decade plus now. It seems kind of silly for me to jump ship with all of my purchases. For me, my thinking is that it seems silly that for me to throw away all the purchases from apps or subscriptions or other stuff like that that may be only on Apple's devices just to switch over and play xCloud. on an Android device. It seems a little, it doesn't make any sense, you know, just because of their walled garden approach there. It doesn't make sense for me. It might make sense for you or anybody else who's listening, but not for me. You know, perfect example is if there's a game, Grindstone, love that game. It's on Apple only. It's part of their arcade, Apple Arcade, which could be another reason why they may not want streaming devices or streaming services like xCloud and Stadia on their device as well. I wonder. That's conspiracy theorist talk there. Maybe we'll get into that on a different episode. But I really think that as much as that walled garden, I like that, and it helps. It gives me an easy life. Like I said, I also understand the flip side of that, where, I mean, the iOS audience is a very large audience that's basically blacklisted and out. They won't. They will not be able to take advantage of the awesome features of Xbox Game Pass, like xCloud, where they can stream directly to their mobile device. Even though, hey, we finally got the ability that we could pair Xbox controllers and PlayStation controllers and Bluetooth controllers to our device and use them, we can't play any of the big boy games, quote-unquote, on xCloud or Stadia or GeForce Now because of the same policies there. And I think that really sucks. You know, hey, I'm definitely saying that as an iOS owner. I can't use my phone, I can't use my devices to try and play that. Sure, I can get an Android device, but again, I don't know how I feel about spending $300, $400 for one device just so I can play xCloud. Just saying that. Now, if anybody wants to give me an Android device for little to nothing so that I can try this, sure, I'll knock myself out. But I'm just saying, it seems a little silly to do that. I think my big thing is that I'm hoping that this is temporary, and maybe at some point in the future, Microsoft and Apple can kind of come to some type of agreement or some type of term or some workaround or something so that iCloud iOS users can use xCloud on those devices, on the iPads and iPhones. Because I think, again, like, I know that Android has a very large base. I think somebody quoted numbers of like 300 or 400 million. It's probably more than that worldwide. But like iOS is huge. It's just as huge as Samsung, or not Samsung, it's Android, if not more. It's, again, iOS and Android, the two top mobile operating systems in the world right now. So, yeah, it sucks, and it's unfortunate. But, you know, I think it's also within Apple's right to do that. You know, other companies do the same thing. Microsoft does the same thing. If you go look at their Windows Store and some of the stuff that they're doing on there to try and push, and, you know, it's as you're going to find in a couple of the topics here tonight, it's all about the money. How do the companies get the money? And, like, you know, it's, of course, money. The fact that Apple's going to want a 30% cut of those subscription services is a big part of the reason why I'm sure Microsoft is having trouble getting it on their store. But we'll see. I'll definitely be following the story. Believe me, I'll be shouting from the rooftops if I can actually get it to work on iOS at some point in time. But until then, iOS users, you're kind of stuck out in the dust. But Android users, if you have an Android phone, Samsung, Google, whatever, go to the App Store, download the Xbox Game Pass app, and you should, as long as you're an Ultimate subscriber, you should be able to get access to xCloud starting tomorrow in the beta. So definitely something to look forward to. Number three is definitely noteworthy to pull up here. Rocksteady, you remember that company, guys who made all the Batman games. They have announced their next project, and it is Suicide Squad here. This coming from a tweet they sent out earlier last week. Basically, it just, the title of the tweet is "Target Locked, hashtag DC Fandom, August 22nd, hashtag Suicide Squad Game." It's got just a simple white picture background. It's got Superman on the front kind of looking off in the horizon, and then it's got the kind of Suicide Squad hair crosshairs kind of written right on top of Superman's head there. So clearly, finally, after all this secrecy and whatnot, like, what is Rocksteady doing, we finally know that it's going to be a Suicide Squad game. And we'll have to wait until August 22nd when the DC Fandom comes through before we actually hear and find out more and see more about that game. Very cool. The two things I probably have to say about this are, number one, Suicide Squad. I like, the movie was cool. I liked it. I'll have to see. Like, I reserve judgment until the gameplay is shown, really. I'm curious to know how, you know, I've always been a fan of the Batman games, including Batman Origins, which people want to kind of toss away. But I will tell you right now, that game was good. Don't at me. You know, just at me. Just come at me. Because apparently I'm alone here, so just come at me. Whatever you want to do. But I don't think that... I don't know. I don't know. I mean, again, their Avengers game is out, and I'll talk more about that in a little bit. But it might be fun. I'm definitely curious to see what their new strategy and formula is. But, you know, like I said, definitely want to wait and see. See how the game plays. See what it looks like. That's number one. Number two, for a company and a game that has been shrouded in secrecy for a while, and people have really been eager to know what it is, it felt a little weird and a little off that they basically just revealed and announced this via a tweet on Twitter. Surprised it wasn't like just like a shadow drop of a trailer. Like, shadow drop's fine, but like a trailer or something, some teaser video encouraging people to go to the DC fandom, get a little bit more than a single picture image of Superman. But maybe that, you know, I think honestly, because of the DC game, I think the big push is for you to go to DC fandom on August 22nd and watch the coverage there and get the full breakdown of this game, which I'm sure they will do at that time there. But I think it's also been confirmed that this game is for next-gen systems, so don't know much other than that. Cool picture, awesome, definitely want to see more, and we will on August 22nd. Let's look here, let me get some water. Man, you guys listen via audio, you're just, if you're listening via audio, this might be like one of the few times you come watch on video here, because it's just me, I'm chilling out, I've got my stream set up here on, drinking my water, since it's basically me talking the whole time. But let's get back into it here. Number four, it just wouldn't be a Rocket Punch show without talking about Nintendo at some point. Nintendo is making money, and they're hot. This one coming from Twitter here, industry insider Daniel Ahmad tweeting out a couple of links here. I'm going to read the first one and maybe go through some numbers later here, but his tweet here from Nintendo Financials: Nintendo Switch has now sold 61.44 million units as of June 30th, 2020. This includes 52.63 million original consoles and 8.82 million Lite consoles. The Nintendo Switch has now sold as many consoles as the original Nintendo Entertainment System, which is at 61.91 million. Let's see, there was a lot of crazy interesting numbers here going through. I think one of the big ones here, let me click Daniel Ahmad's link here, is that in regards to their software, which, surprise, surprise, Animal Crossing is killing it. I think if I cannot find, see, this is the fun part, I don't have somebody else to help clear dead air for me, so I'm like, you hear my little scroll wheel here as I'm scrolling through all the details and images here to see if I can find this information, but I surely can't. I believe, if I'm running through memory here, like, Animal Crossing has sold through, like, somewhat over 22 million copies sold on the device there, so it's more or less about a little over one in three Switch owners own Animal Crossing New Horizons on their console. And they actually showed a lot of their first party title. I mean, Animal Crossing New Horizons has already reached number two as the best selling Switch game. It has jumped over Super Smash Bros. Ultimate as the number two game, right behind Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. And that whole, like, the top five or six games that I know I saw on that list basically is a one in three sold on system. So, like, the top five or six games of all time on Nintendo Switch, out of three Switch owners, one person will own that game. And I think it's like Super Smash Brothers Melee, Animal Crossing New Horizons, Mario Party, I don't know, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, Breath of the Wild, Mario Odyssey. There's one more game I can't think of it right now, but it's bananas how well Nintendo is doing. You know, for all the talk we're hyping up about PlayStation and Xbox and these console wars, it is cool and nice to see that little old Nintendo is killing it. I think that a big contributing factor is the coronavirus pandemic that we're going through right now. A lot of people are at home. A lot of people are wanting to, you know, oh, I got to play something here. I want to play something. What am I going to do? And, you know, boom, they got the Nintendo Switch right there available to play and jump in and have a good time with. So definitely kudos to Nintendo. They keep on rocking it. Hopefully we see more numbers like that moving in. I mean, and granted, this is from this past quarter through June 30th, 2020. This doesn't include, you know, we're going into the holiday season here. So even, I think, even with these new consoles coming out that have a lot of eyes on them, I think Nintendo Switch is still going to sell well. I mean, I'm part of, I'm in the group, the we have a group around here, Video Gamers of Huntsville, and I'm in that group. And, like, every once in a while, people are popping in, like, hey, have you guys seen a Switch? Or, hey, do you guys know where a Switch Lite is? Or, hey, here's a Switch at this Walmart location. Come get it. And it's really cool about the community that everybody's communicating that. But the fact that you have that type of conversations going on right now is pretty special, pretty crazy. I like seeing it. I'm going to need some water for this one because this is going to take a minute. So, number five, and I wanted to put this story on here because I feel like it's not being talked about as much as some of the other stuff that's on this list. Less money, less problems, apparently, for Blizzard employees here. This is coming from James Batchelor over at GameIndustry.biz. Blizzard employees reportedly preparing demands for fair pay. Tensions at Blizzard are mounting as employees are reportedly preparing a list of demands to address salary imbalances at the World of Warcraft firm. Earlier this week, it was reported that staff had been sharing salary details in order to ascertain the disparity in wages between different departments and pay levels. Now, Bloomberg reports staff are using an internal Slack channel with over 870 members to draft a list of workplace requests. Demands include fair pay, increased sick leave and holiday allowances, pay rises for customer service and QA workers, and changes in how promotions are given. Sources told the site these are expected to be presented to management soon, potentially by the end of the week. A Blizzard spokesperson responded to Bloomberg's report with an email statement, quote, "We will continue to adapt our compensation to build and keep the workforce our company needs today and tomorrow. We understand that some Blizzard employees have specific requests, and we look forward to hearing from them." Oh boy, is that a typo? "And we look forward to hearing from them direction." That is how it is typed in this article. The employee document collecting salaries across the company reportedly shows that some staff are paid less than $40,000 per year. This is less than half the median household income of Irvine, California, where Blizzard's headquarters are based. Since the original story earlier this week, various current and former Activision Blizzard employees have told the site that the publisher pays considerably less than its competitors. Some have seen their pay as much as double when leaving for a similar position at another company. News of the demands follow Activision's most recent financial results, where the company reported revenues of $1.92 billion, up from $1.4 billion last year. Blizzard specifically saw a 20% year-on-year increase in its revenue to $461 million. The three words I'd probably say first, know your worth, is in, I know I've gone through this myself, like, finding a different job, or I was at one job and I was being paid a base amount, you know, X amount, and then moving over to another job and finding the same stuff that I did, all of a sudden I'm making X amount more, in some cases a good chunk more than what I was making before. And unfortunately, you see it way too often in businesses and communities nowadays, because, you know, I don't know why, maybe corporate people are just, they want to pinch every penny so they can make sure their bonus is as fat as possible at the end of the year. Maybe they're just trying to pinch pennies in order to keep their salary and their way of life, and then make sure the company stays afloat. I have no idea. That each business is their own. But in this particular instance, I know there was actually, there's a tweet that I had bookmarked. I don't know if I could find it, where it actually had one of the ladies that I follow on Twitter actually tweeted out her pay, like in a very bold move, when this article and this story kind of broke out. She's like, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead and do this. And she actually, all the jobs she had had, she tweeted out the prices here. And I'm going to briefly go over these here, since it is on Twitter, but like, Blizzard internship, $16.75 an hour. Blizzard associate, PM, $59K. Blizzard PM, $74K. Now that's all Blizzard. Now here's what happens now. Riot PM switches over from Blizzard to Riot. Riot PM, $134K. Riot PM level 2, $163K. And I saw that and I was just like, that is crazy. I've been to BlizzCon. I've been in Anaheim and Irvine, California, in that area. It isn't cheap. And I think that, like, I've hear, especially if you listen to games media enough, I mean, you're hearing a lot of people from San Francisco and LA and that all that whole region, you know very full well that, you know, a lot of those people are like living with friends or they're in apartments with like three other people just to split the rent, because that's the only way they can actually afford living there, period. And I think that's banana and ridiculous. And especially in this particular case, I think it's crazy that Blizzard, Activision Blizzard, the owners of World of Warcraft, Overwatch, Hearthstone, they're three big money makers, and that's the Blizzard side, and all I've got to say on the Activision side is Call of Duty. Mic drop. Like, you have all this money coming in, you made revenues of $1.92 billion, and you've got people that are barely making a livable wage living out there in California. And I know there are stories, horror stories, unfortunately, of people that, you know, said that they didn't eat with people because they didn't have the money and they didn't want to show that out. They had people that just couldn't even eat at Blizzard's own cafeteria. They could not eat in the company's own cafeteria because they didn't have the funds to do so. That is bananas. Bananas. And it was sad to hear. It was a shame to hear. And like I said, I think that this story, it popped a little bit last week, but it kind of just went away when some of these other stories popped up. And I think this is a very important story because, like, Blizzard, I understand if it may be a small indie company and maybe they're trying to find funds in order to keep the company itself afloat, but Activision Blizzard is one of the largest publishers in the world, period, for video games. And it's a shame that they're losing so much talent on these great games that I love, World of Warcraft, Overwatch, Diablo, StarCraft, Hearthstone, all these games. These people are leaving and making almost double what they were doing before for the same job, simply because of whatever's going on with Blizzard and their pay scales or whatever. And I think that's ridiculous. I was really happy to see a lot of these employees kind of getting together and I think in a very proper way, like, hey, let's get our demands, let's list this out and talk with management and have this open dialogue to find out how can we make this better? Like, what can we do? What can you guys do to increase, you know, to give us what we want? You know, maybe they ask, you know, maybe it's like, you know, hey, we want this, or maybe it's like, we don't want this, but let's meet a middle ground. What can we negotiate? And I'm really hoping that Blizzard management, Activision Blizzard management, really listens to what these employees bring to the table, because, you know, when you have happy employees, you're going to have high quality games. They're going to be well rested. You're going to have a lot of fans like myself that are going to love these games. Even if you have to extend it, you know, wait a couple of extra months to do it to help out with work-life balance, it's going to be great. And especially in the gaming industry, when crunch and things of that nature is so prevalent, so highly prevalent, like, you you've got to make sure your employees are taken care of and they have the compensation that they need and deserve, in my opinion, for all of the hard work they do in helping you get to that $1.92 billion in revenue. And I think it's just ridiculous, you know, that some of those employees are getting paid that much. And like I said, I'm hoping that, you know, I'm knocking on wood. I'm keep crossing my fingers for you guys, if any of you listen to the show or hear this episode at all, that you guys, everything works out for you and you guys get the compensation that I think you deserve. I mean, you guys, I'm a gamer, so I guess you can include this in, include me in this as well. But like, I think that all the development, that all the stuff that game developers go through when they're developing this game, their X game, whatever, and they're putting it out for people, and people, you know, varying different opinions on it and the way people feel about it, and the tireless hours that they put in to make even teasers and the games themselves or whatever. And especially when you're getting underpaid, when you could literally walk out the door, go down the street to Riot and make almost double what you were making there. That's ridiculous. I know Riot only has, like, at least League of Legends is doing very well for them right now, and they're working on Valorant, which is also doing very well for them. But Blizzard and Activision have way bigger, like a multiple hit Call of Duty, World of Warcraft, Overwatch, Hearthstone. Like, they've got mega hits on their hands. And with their financial reports that they get every day, I see Bobby Kotick gets like a $400 million bonus or something like that. I'm sure that's not the right number, but, you know, something ridiculous like that. But you've got employees under you that aren't even able to eat lunch while they're working on your game. It's kind of gross. Kind of gross, I'm just going to say that. Moving on to a little bit better news here, guys. Number 6 on the news here. PlayStation had a recent State of Play come up here. I've got the complete recap here. I've watched some of it. I didn't get a chance to watch all of this before actually recording this. But some of the games look cool. A quick rundown here. They showed some good more footage of Crash Bandicoot 4. It's about time. They got they had a nice little breakdown of Godfall. Showed more footage of that. This isn't a new game, but it's the creature collection game Temtem. It's on PC. It's almost like Pokemon-esque. They announced that that is coming to PlayStation 5 in 2021. A very cool game. I saw a clip of this. Hood. Outlaws and Legends, which looks pretty cool. That is coming in 2021 to PS5. Other games they talked about, The Pedestrian, Auto Chess, Control. There's AWE expansion that kind of finally brings the game Control and Alan Wake, kind of the crossover event, together, which is pretty cool. Aeon Must Die, Genshin. They had a pretty big breakdown for Pathless. That came on there as well. They announced that Hitman 3 will have full PSVR support for not only Hitman 3 levels, but also Hitman 1 and 2 levels that will be included in that game. A lot of cool stuff there. Definitely encourage you guys, if you haven't had a chance, check out the State of Play from August. They did a good job of setting expectations that there was no big PS5 news, no price, no more details on hardware, or any cool little service, things like that. But there was still a pretty good slate of games, pretty cool to check out, and I think enough that at least one of those games on the list, I think, would probably interest you, regardless of your tastes there. So, definitely worth checking out. Go find out and check that out and see. Number 7 on the list, I'm getting, again, water, is about the Avengers. Spider-Man is coming to Marvel's The Avengers, but only if you've got a PlayStation. This article reading here is specifically from Matt Wales over at Eurogamer.net. Let me actually read the original story here. There's good news for Spider-Man fans hoping to see their favorite web-slinger in Crystal Dynamics' upcoming Avengers game. Or rather, good news for some Spider-Man fans, at least. He'll be joining the post-launch hero lineup for free next year, but as a PlayStation exclusive. Confirmation of Spider-Man's arrival comes via the PlayStation blog, where Crystal Dynamics says it's, quote, hard at work making him just as great on the sticks as he is on the page, end quote. The developer explains its ultimate goal is to make the transition between Spider-Man's acrobatic combat and sticky-fingered environmental movement as seamless as possible. Quote, when he's arcing through the air on his web line, we want you to feel graceful and light and be able to utilize a variety of web configurations and gadgets to enhance your traversal. Iconic abilities are promised, and as in the case for all heroes in-game, these can be upgraded alongside various gadgets and tools, which, in Spider-Man's case, includes custom web shooter-based technology from Hank Pym, S.H.I.E.L.D., Stark Industries, and more. And then, it's, you know, we're not done. An update to the article here. In another burst of news that's sure to vex Xbox and PC players, Sony has shared details of yet more Marvel Avengers PlayStation exclusives, including special in-game events, rewards, and 30-day early access to certain cosmetics for all heroes. Following yesterday's news that Spider-Man will be a PlayStation exclusive when he joins the Avengers roster next year, Square Enix has revealed that PlayStation owners will also get 30 days exclusive access to a legendary outfit, legendary emote, epic takedown, and nameplate for every new hero upon their release. This includes all six launch day heroes. Additionally, as outlined in a new blog post introducing the game's community challenges, essentially events that require players to work together on a large scale to accomplish a goal and earn rewards, developer Crystal Dynamics has confirmed it's prepping a series of community challenges that will only be available to PlayStation players. And that's still not all. PlayStation Plus subscribers will receive a free bundle containing a rare outfit, nameplate, and 100 credits with the arrival of each new post-launch hero, starting with Hawkeye. They'll also receive a special Ms. Marvel bundle on launch day. Will all this exclusivity malarkey tempt players on other platforms over to PlayStation, or will it simply encourage them to punt Marvel's Avengers from their wish lists and spend their cash elsewhere? Well, it's coming out September 4th, so we'll find out soon. And that's also not all. Apparently, it came out today that if you are playing on... If you are a Verizon customer, you get, like, there's some generic, like, palette swap skins that you get access to if you're a Verizon customer. So, I will definitely be up front. There's probably going to be Rocket Punch opinions on this. But I had multiple different feelings hearing this and throughout the week leading up to this. I really go back to the earlier point that I made. I feel of two minds of it. Like, number one, people, how you feel, it's okay however you feel each way, but at least for me, as, you know, maybe it's just because I primarily play on PlayStation, although this kind of changed a little bit, and I'll go into a little bit more of that in a second. Exclusives matter. Exclusives are a big deal. It's a very generic example that I tell people sometimes, but, like, it's if I have two cupcake shops on the same street and they sell the same stuff, what's the point of having two cupcake shops on the street? It's a very generic, very general explanation, but I think that it, kind of boiling it down, like, that exclusive stuff is what helps people determine what systems they prefer. Not necessarily, like, in a way like, oh, I gotta buy it over here, but, like, what systems do I want? You know, PlayStation has their powerful exclusive lineups with God of War, Horizon Zero Dawn, a lot of single-player-focused, narrative-driven games, Days Gone, Last of Us, where Xbox, you have your exclusive services like Xbox Game Pass, one of the best deals in gaming. You're not gonna find that on PlayStation. You're not gonna find that on Nintendo Switch. If you gotta have an Xbox. Apparently, the best thing to do is just own a PC, because now you play Horizon Zero Dawn and have Game Pass on your PC. So hashtag PC Master Race, I guess. I don't know, but you know, there's a lot of decisions you have to make on your, you know, do I want to go, do I play primarily on an Xbox? Here's why. Do I play primarily on PlayStation? Here's why. Do I play on Nintendo? Here's why. Do I play on PC? Here's why. There's a lot of stuff that you as a gamer have to delve into and break down in order to decide, like, this is where I play because X. And a lot of the easiest reasons are, my friends are on Xbox, so I play on Xbox. My friends are on PlayStation, so I play on PlayStation. And sometimes it is simple as that. And but I think that those exclusives stuff is what draws us over there. If I want to play Halo, I got to get an Xbox. I got to, or at least for right now, I got to be on Game Pass. Like, I have to be in their ecosystem if I want to play Halo. And I love Halo. I can't wait for Halo Infinite. But if I want to play Horizon Zero Dawn, I got to be on PlayStation. I got to have a PlayStation system in order to play that game and enjoy the dinosaurs that go prime. But, and so I understand the power of exclusives throughout the entire, especially in the last like decade or two, the entirety of console generations, everybody's had it. Xbox had, on the 360, it was the one that had exclusive 30-day access to Call of Duty maps, especially as Call of Duty was really taking off, and it was, as some people will say, in its prime during that 360 PS3 generation. You know, then it came over to the PlayStation 4 side on starting this current generation that we're still in right now, and it's been enjoying those, you know, early 30-day bumps going forward. Xbox had Rise of the Tomb Raider, a game that I think that some people don't give enough credit for that entire like reboot series of Tomb Raider. They had that game locked up as a timed exclusive for an entire year. Like, you could not play that game anywhere else but Xbox if you wanted to play the next Tomb Raider. Which I know some people were, their feathers were ruffled because, you know, hey, the first game was multi-platform, but now you're locking it to a certain group of people for a year. Like, come on, what's up with that? Unfortunately, the thing that sucked about that is that they tried releasing that on the same day as Fallout 4, which was a mistake. And I knew it was coming. I'm like, man, I like Rise of the Tomb Raider more, but God forbid, like, why did you release it the same day as Fallout 4? I digress. That's a different conversation. But needless to say, those exclusives are ways that they're getting people into their ecosystem. And like, I know when I saw the Spider-Man one, one of the first things I thought, out of all the things I thought, was like, that's a good get on PlayStation. Number one, like, getting people to identify Spider-Man, arguably one of the most popular superheroes in the world, if not the most popular one. Like, Spider-Man and PlayStation, Spider-Man and PlayStation. If you want to play Marvel Spider-Man, you got to get a PlayStation. And now, apparently, if you want to play Spider-Man on Marvel's Avengers, you got to get a PlayStation to do it. And I think locking that up was, it's a great exclusive move. Like, it's a great business move for PlayStation gamers. If you were going to play it on PlayStation, or if you were going to get a PlayStation 4 or PlayStation 5, this is a great, you're like, yes, I can't wait for Spider-Man. But if you were an Xbox gamer, you were going to play this on Xbox, you were going to play this on PC, I understand how you feel. It's kind of like, well, shit, what am I going to do? Because I love Spider-Man and I want to play Spider-Man. I was personally, the game looked interesting before seeing all this time and for the beta. I was really considering, like, a lot of console stuff I play primarily on PlayStation, but I was actually considering getting it on PC. I'm like, ooh, I want to play this on PC and it'll be easy for me to stream. That's probably the main reason I play a lot of games on PC now. And plus, I'm just sitting here anyway. But now that the fact that just the Spider-Man announcement alone is like, well, shit, I got to go get it on PlayStation. But now you got like all this exclusive early access, which I Spider-Man, I understand. Like, okay, cool. You get an exclusive character. Sure. That's fine. You got to do what you got to do in order to stay on top. But like, I will definitely say that a lot of this extra stuff, you know, special in-game events, rewards, 30-day access to cosmetics, you get these special packages when Heroes release, like, that is, I will definitely have to say, it feels a little excessive. And honestly, for me, for a game that looks good so far from the little time that I've played on the beta, it's fun to play, you have your friends, you're fun to play, I don't know. I'll definitely have to reserve judgment on official release, but I don't know if this is going to be like the top, the 10 out of 10 banger game, gotta play this of the year that some people expect. But I think that this game is, at some point in time, I will go into my full details on the beta, but honestly, from playing the beta this past weekend, this game feels basically like Ultimate Alliance game with like a AAA budget. The way that the characters play, and it's multiplayer, and you have your different abilities and stuff, it's very much like Ultimate Alliance 3 or any of the Ultimate Alliance games. You pick your hero, and you use those abilities, you fly around, you have a great time. And it's fun. I had a great time with the beta when I was able to log into the beta. Again, I'll talk about that more whenever I get a chance to talk about the beta. But the game, I honestly think that this game is probably going to land on a 7 to 8 scale for people when it officially gets reviewed in the next couple days, which isn't a bad thing. I think the Avengers name in and of itself, and based on what I've seen online from people playing it, I think this game is going to sell very well. It may not get the high marks, but I think it's going to sell very well. And then having Spider-Man exclusively on PlayStation might be, it's probably going to be the way for people to push them over the edge and say, if you know, oh, I got to get PlayStation. I got to get it on PlayStation because I got to play Spider-Man. But I, you know, some thoughts that I have on this. Number one, I think the main reason that a lot of people are upset about this is because it's Spider-Man. If this had been almost any other hero, anyone else, if this had been Doctor Strange, if this had been Captain Marvel, if anybody else, I don't think people would have been as upset. And I get it. I love Spider-Man. He's one of my favorite superheroes, so I get it. Spider-Man's dope. Again, why it's a smart move. Everybody loves Spider-Man. Having him exclusively is a great business move. Number two is that I have the distinct feeling that people got upset about this. I would put money that if I'm right and this game gets the scores in the 7-8 range, people won't care. You'll probably see a lot of people come up and say, oh, fucking game's trash. Have fun playing Spider-Man on that trash game on PlayStation, .. all this other crap. I'd put $10 on the counter right now. But that is probably, if the game is scored around there, that's what's going to happen. And then if it's scored higher in the 9s and 10s, and it turns out that it's an amazing, awesome experience that people have to play, people are going to get even more upset. But I can play Spider-Man, because this is a 10 for 10, but I got to play it on PlayStation. And it's just, it's nature of the beast. Is it a great business move? Yeah. I mean, PlayStation has, in a similar vein to how Xbox was during the 360 time frame there, like, they are playing their exclusives to the chest. Sony and Microsoft are both going these two different routes. And I think people are just even more upset about this because I think it's amplified because of the message that Xbox is sending going into this next generation with Game Pass and with xCloud and all their putting gamers at the center of everything message that they're been trying to push. And I think that, you know, some people have asked, like, is PlayStation anti-consumer? And I really had to think about that over the last couple of days. And do I think PlayStation is anti-consumer with these moves? No, I don't. I think that as those Xbox and PlayStation have taken those different paths to success, the thing that I think maybe some people are forgetting is that this is how it's been. This is how it's always been. Like, Xbox is breaking new ground with Game Pass and xCloud and all these new initiatives just because of the kind of hole they found themselves in with the Xbox One leading into this generation, and it really forced them to innovate. And I think they did. Like, they, again, you should definitely give Xbox credit where credit's due. Like, the systems they've done with the S model series, the Xbox One X, the Xbox Series X, and Game Pass and xCloud and all these initiatives that they're doing, it's great. And I love it because competition breeds innovation, as we're seeing. But the big thing is like, Sony is, that I think some people forget, is like, Sony's doing the same thing that all the console makers, including Microsoft, have done in the past. And that is, like, build up your platform and have exclusive stuff to tell people, like, hey, here is why you should play on this platform. Because if you want to play a Spider-Man, guess what? You got to get a PlayStation in order to play a Spider-Man. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. That's, I don't necessarily want to say that's how the game is played. It's just, it's that's a strategy in order to get people onto your platform. Just like Xbox Game Pass is a strategy to get people onto their platform. So I don't, again, that answer that question. I don't think PlayStation is anti-consumer. I heard it put a good way. PlayStation's not anti-consumer. They're pro-PlayStation consumer. They want people into their ecosystem, which isn't a bad thing to have people into your ecosystem, because that, you know, that's how you foster and grow that community. Xbox wants people into their ecosystem. The Switch is that their ecosystem entry point is not the console anymore. It's Game Pass. And that's their way to get more people overall on mobile devices, consoles, and PC into the ecosystem is with Game Pass, which is a smart strategy, and I can't wait to see how it works out. As we Game Pass becomes more prevalent, it when xCloud comes out of beta and it's on mobile devices and everything like that. But that being said, I think it would have been nice to see this on all the other platforms. I will be honest, there was nothing in the documentation or notes about this being timed exclusive, but I have to say that this has to be a time, unless Sony just, I mean, and based on all the exclusive stuff, maybe they did shell a lot of money for this. Sony shelled out a ton of cash to make this character and all this stuff exclusive, it's hard for me to believe, and maybe I'm being naive, I don't know. It's hard for me to believe that Sony or Spider-Man is only going to be on PlayStation systems into perpetuity. And I would figure at some point in time that Spider-Man will be able to jump onto other platforms in the future. I don't know. I digress. Small little rant that I had on there, but that is just my impressions and thoughts on there, is that kind of same as earlier. I feel and understand it, and I think it sucks for Xbox and PC players that have it out there, but I also think, you know, great business move on Sony's part. It just sucks for everybody else that really, really wants to play Spider-Man. I still stand by my fact that if it was anybody else but Spider-Man, some people would not have given a shit about this. But, again, it's a brilliant move. Sony knows that Spider-Man sells. Everybody knows that Spider-Man sells, and it's a great way to get people into the PlayStation ecosystem. If they want to play Spider-Man next year, got to be on PlayStation. But I'm hoping, if anything, that the Spider-Man does become something that is opened to other console manufacturers and or platforms in the future. Fingers crossed. We'll see. We'll find out. And drumroll number 8, finally on the new, the last and final item here on the news docket here. Xbox Series S confirmed? ? This article coming from Tom Warren over at The Verge. Microsoft's new Xbox Series S console confirmed in leak controller packaging. Man, this was cool. It sucked. Microsoft is rumored to be unveiling its second cheaper next-gen Xbox console this month, and it looks like it will definitely be called Xbox Series S. The Verge has obtained photos of Microsoft's new next-gen Xbox controller in white, complete with packaging that mentions the Xbox Series S. Twitter user Zach S. was able to purchase the controller today, and we've confirmed it's genuine. The new console was sold on a resale site today, and the side of the packaging notes that the controller works with both Xbox Series X and Xbox Series S consoles. Microsoft has not officially unveiled an Xbox Series S yet, nor has the company even confirmed a white Xbox Series X controller. A mysterious white Xbox Series X controller also appeared online last month, complete with a new D-pad, texture triggers, and new share button. This new leak matches the previous controller leak, and retail packaging suggests that these could be appearing in stores soon. The Xbox Series S will likely be Microsoft's second cheaper next-gen Xbox that's been codenamed Lockhart. A Microsoft document leaked back in June shed some further light on the company's plans for two next-gen consoles. Going through details and tech specs about that. Microsoft won't comment on how a next-gen controller has leaked. We have a lot in store. Quote, we have a lot in store for Xbox in 2020 and can't wait to share with you, says a Microsoft spokesperson in a statement to The Verge. Quote, however, we have nothing to announce at this time. There are some photos of the box and the controller and them manipulating the controller and everything. I mean, this more or less confirms Xbox Series S is real. It's going to be announced. It's going to happen this month. And man, this is kind of a crappy way to get that reveal, because that, you know, that had been rumored. People were curious about Lockhart for a while. We really weren't. It's still kind of an ambiguity. But then, you know, the leak a little earlier in June, and then this, I mean, this is very much like the straw that broke the camel's back. It clearly says on the side packaging, Xbox Series X/S. And there's nothing you can hide about that. They've even actually, I think Tom Warren on Twitter has come out and said a lot more people have confirmed and been able to buy this controller, which means they're suspecting that it might get announced soon and be available for purchase. So it's just, it really sucks that it gets announced like this, because Seth, of course, co-host of the show, was, you know, as an Xbox fan and a primarily Xbox gamer, he was pretty ruffled over that, you know, it got leaked like this. I feel like a couple of Xbox things have been leaked lately, and you know, I understand. I know, especially for me, when I watched the showcase earlier in July, like Fable at the end. If you didn't know about Fable, that would have been awesome. But people had more or less been hearing leaks and rumors about it being Fable for so long now that when it popped up, they're just like, cool, got confirmed, awesome, great to see. Excited, but, you know, it wasn't as hyped as I think Microsoft wanted it to be. And the fact that this controller is now leaked, it's confirmed. If or whenever, you know, it's not even if, whenever this gets announced, people are going to be like, cool, it's confirmed, we know what it looks like now, as opposed to like, you know, another awesome new next-gen console that we're going to be able to take advantage of. For, you know, it's going to be lower cost for people that can't spend the $400 or $500 that these new ones are going to be. Yay! But, no, this is awesome news to see. I'm really, really curious, now that it's more or less confirmed, like, what the pricing strategy is for Microsoft and how it will affect Sony's pricing strategy, and how, basically, I want to see how all these consoles look at the end of the day, like power to cost ratio. Like, what is it going to look like if Microsoft's console is a little bit higher, but like this Xbox Series S model, depending on where it's priced and how it's spec'd, could be the nice middle ground that a lot of gamers are looking for, especially if they see that PlayStation 5 price and they see, they're like, ooh, that's a little expensive. They can definitely walk in on a, get into the Xbox ecosystem with a lower priced entry and probably get Game Pass bundled with it at least for a month or two. So you have a great library of games to play after that. It's going to be interesting to see. I really, really, really want to know now more than ever, like, what is this? What, you know, what's the cost? How much is it? Show me the box. And, you know, some people have been like, just go ahead and reveal it now. But I think that for something this big and the announcement wise, I think you keep it and you hold it until whenever you announce the price for the X, you show this, and then you announce the price for this one as well. Don't make people wait. I think that this being leaked more or less confirms. I don't think you have to say much other than, yeah, it's out there now. Shit. Just hang tight, and we'll talk more about it later on this month. And then reveal everything and kind of get people ready for next gen this fall. But, yeah, no, I mean, it's cool. It's cool. We finally get to know it. Just kind of sucks the way in which it got revealed. Leaks kind of suck. They kind of take the steam out of all the hard work that people put into them, so... Oh, that is it for the news, and consequently, because it's only me, and you guys have been listening to me talk for over an hour, that's it for the Rocket Punch Show, episode 17, guys. Thank you so much for listening here. Normally, if I had another person, this is where we would do a post show, but that's not happening this week because it is just me, and I'm going to drink some more water, finish editing this, and then go to bed. Thank you guys so much for listening. Let me know what you think. Hit me up at Twitter, @RocketPunchGo. Let me know what you think about the solo show. Is it something that you appreciate and like? Because if it is, and enough people like this, this is definitely an alternative to me having to cancel a week if I can't get a co-host on. If for some reason Seth is not available, that I can do this in this a format similar to this, which was fun. It sucks on my throat, but it was fun to talk about these games and kind of sit here in my echo chamber and discuss them with everybody listening here. But let me know what you think, guys. How you think of the show. Remember, you can all rate and review us on your podcast service of choice. Let us know how we're doing here so we can help improve stuff for you here at Rocket Punch. RocketPunchGo.com. That's the place you want to be to check out all of our stuff. Make sure you're subscribed and sharing this episode and other content with everybody else here, guys. But other than that, thank you so much for joining me here for episode 17 of the Rocket Punch Show. Very much appreciate your guys' continued support. Good night and good game.